Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Everyone agrees that our troops deserve a return to productive and creative lives after service. Yet, in spite of billions spent on psychological care and reintegration programs, according to our next guest, we face an epidemic of combat-related conditions like PTSD. What's the solution? In his new book, Warriors Return, Dr. Edward Tick reveals what's missing in our approach to helping our veterans acclimate from battlefield to civilian life. He is the founding co-director of Soldier's Heart, Restoring Our Warriors and Communities. And it's always a great pleasure to welcome Ed Tick to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us, sir. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. And thank you for having me and making this special time to honor and support our veterans.
It's always very nice to speak with you and to talk about your work. Give us an idea, a sense of how this book, in some ways, is different from what you've written about in the past, and yet fits in very much with the mission that you've been doing for quite a long time.
Yes, well, I've been working, as you know, and thank you for your support over the years. I've been working with our veterans since the late 1970s. Before post-traumatic stress disorder was even a modern diagnosis. That was in 1980. However, our listeners should know that what we call PTSD today is a wound that inevitably goes with war, and we know of at least 80 names it's been given over the centuries, and it's recorded in the Bible and in ancient Greek and Roman literature. The traditional cultures around the world knew of this. So what we have is that war will inevitably cause both visible and invisible wounds. We have great care for the visible wounds, but we really terribly neglect our veterans in their hearts and their souls in reintegration into the community, in our communities being together and united with our veterans, with our warriors, in helping bring them home, restore them, and everybody carry responsibility together. So with that large scope background, my organization, Soldier's Heart, and I work directly with troops and veterans, and especially in our communities, helping to restore the proper social relationship and contract between warriors and their community. My earlier book, War in the Soul, which came out in 2005, and you covered that too, I thank you very much, really looked deeply and comprehensively at the inner world of a combat survivor. How they are reshaped in every aspect of their being, not just brain chemistry as we focus on today, but how people are changed in body, in mind, in heart, in spirit, in the ways they relate to their communities, the ways they connect with life, and in their ongoing identities. So in Soldier's Heart, in our model, we work to help our veterans transform their identity from an alienated and disabled returnee to one who is on a lifelong journey. And Native Americans had the term translated to us by Hollywood as war path, but really they were talking about a warrior's path. That veterans say, once a warrior, always a warrior, and that's true. The transformation is for life. People are different. They are not pathological. They do not need to be disabled, but they have come home differently and transformed from the experiences. So we work with the veterans, the military, and the communities to understand and embrace this transformation and develop a new and enlarged warrior identity that can serve them through life and continue to guide growth and healing and service for everybody.
Realizing that this, I don't want to sound like I'm taking words apart too much, but the subtitle of the book is Restoring the Soul After War. How do you believe that war damages the soul, what impact it has, which I assume is different for each soldier and individual?
Well, it's both different and universal. Again, what we call post-traumatic stress disorder has universal qualities.
Right.
People break down, and it doesn't, of course, have to be only after war. There are unique dimensions of war because people are killing each other. But people, of course, can develop PTSD from accidents, from domestic violence, from surviving severe environmental catastrophes, and psychologists even see the breakdown in some animal species when their environments and beings are significantly threatened. So bears, wolves, dogs, cats, whales, dolphins, other sentient beings also break down this way. In that sense, it's universal. And we need to understand that it is a natural and almost universal breakdown to these extreme, violent, abnormal conditions people have. Now, that being said, you're right that people will respond differently to violent trauma, and not everybody breaks down, and certainly not in the same way. However, the experience of war is so horrific, so overwhelming, so impactful. It's as if the individual is confronting gargantuan cosmic forces of life and death and good and evil. And everybody, we propel good, ordinary people around the world into the situation of war. None of us are prepared for that kind of horror. None of us could just be plunged into hell and survive it without changing. So I call it a soul PTSD. I also call post-traumatic soul distress, because every aspect of our being has been affected. What we call the soul, or our essential self, our inner being, directs how we think, how we feel, how we love, how we connect to society, how we place ourselves in time and space, our aesthetics, our moral sensibility, and many other things. All of those are changed by the combat experience. All of them are penetrated and affected and transformed in significant ways, and all of that needs to be dealt with, not just brain chemistry and cognitive retraining as our modern methodologies stress. So when we understand the comprehensive training, we understand the person has come back different and needs massive amounts of respect, honor, tending, support, and guidance to transform that difference into a positive and contributing identity.
With that statement you just made of the person has to be, so how much of it is on us and how much of it is on them for there to be a transformation? How open do they have to be to accept what we are giving them, that love and respect and understanding?
But that's a great question, because it is really a shared responsibility. And we, in general, as a culture, we have forsaken that responsibility. I also call PTSD post-traumatic social disorder, because civilians and warriors in our culture and largely around the modern world are profoundly alienated from each other, and rather, we need to be in concentric circles of caring and protection, and it really is on us as civilians to fulfill this responsibility. The warrior's responsibility is to surround his or her society, whether it's a small village or a large nation. The warrior surrounds the society in a circle of protection and preservation. Those are the essential warrior values, not destroying. They don't want to. They do it in service and for protection to us. So when we are threatened, and again, whether we believe it or not, whether we agree with the politics or not is besides the point here, because our warriors are surrounding us to protect us. They don't have a choice in the orders that they follow, and they are willing to suffer and sacrifice for us all. So they do that during the threat. And when the threat is over, warriors are meant to come back into the center of the society, not be relegated to hospitals and be homeless on the streets and or languishing in halfway houses, but being brought right back into the center of a culture. And the culture, the civilians then surround the veterans with utmost care, concern, attending, and protection of them while they get everything they need for the recovery. So we civilians have to pay our debt back to our warriors. And in Soldier's Heart, we have a motto that my wife, Kate Dahlstedt, our co-founder, created, which simply says, caring means sharing the burden. So when we work with our veterans, we transfer the responsibility, as traditional cultures did, from the warriors to the circle of civilians surrounding them and protecting them. We take that burden of guilt, of as if they had acted in their own names, we take that burden off them and affirm that we all have to carry it. Our troops act in our names and by our dollars, whether we agree or not. They're asking us to be responsible for how they're used and to give proper care for them while they're serving and afterwards. So we really have to work together to heal this social disorder. And civilians, as much as veterans, need to be willing to hear the stories, take responsibility for them, and work together for the healing.
And something I want to get back to that we talked about it in the beginning is that your belief that we're talking about epidemic levels here. In other words, it is your belief that and if I'm putting words into your mouth, I apologize. But that basically anyone who has served in war has some form of trauma that they have to overcome.
Well, yes, we can say that because the word trauma means wounding. It originally is an ancient Greek word meaning a stabbing wound. But the ancients did not separate body and soul and heart and mind the way we do. So when we are pierced by the violence of the world, we are transformed by that penetration. We are different. We are changed. It doesn't have to be into a traumatic breakdown that causes a lack of functioning. But the poor tending that we fail to give our veterans good tending upon return, we give them extraordinary training to become soldiers, sailors, Marines, Air Corps. And, you know, we brag that we have the best military in the world. It is an extraordinarily effective military with great people serving, but then we don't give them the full homecoming education, training, support to learn to carry the experience. And so they have to carry these dark experiences of being in hell alone and without support or guidance. Traditional cultures, again, and some other cultures around the world, give their returnees extreme degrees of caring, tending, and violence. There's even, in traditional cultures, what could be called warrior spirituality. There are priests and priestesses, healers who specialize in spiritual resolution of trauma after it occurs and give extraordinarily complex dimensions of healing. Our Native American reservations still do that. They've done that for millennia. They continue to do it for their returning warriors, and many invite veterans of all ethnic backgrounds in to share these methods. And many of our non-Native veterans go there and find relief, belonging, support, understanding, affirmation of who they have become and how they've become different that they don't get from either mainstream society or conventional healing methods. And these methods really work.
So I apologize, but in the minute we have left, talk to us of how we who have not served, those of us who have not served, how what we can do on this Veterans Day to do something that is meaningful.
Well, the very first thing we can do is seriously call our friends and family members who are veterans, and don't say a shallow thank you for your service, but ask them to talk. Ask for their stories. Express a deep curiosity and concern for what they've been through. Many people have never heard their fathers or their brothers or their spouses' stories, and they keep them locked up. So our nation, as well as individuals, really need to make every opportunity possible to invite veterans out of the closet, to affirm that their life experiences are different, and to create all kinds of community-based means, storytelling, talking circles, book events, veterans art projects, veterans speak-outs. Everybody can attend and help with veteran stand-downs that our veteran advocates run. But the basic thing is the community accepts its responsibility to help warriors return, and our responsibility for sending them, our responsibility for overseeing how they're used, and for embracing that difficult but very possible and hopeful journey of return.
Ed Tick is the founding co-director of Soldier's Heart, Restoring Our Warriors and Communities. His new book is Warriors Return, Restoring the Soul After War. You can find out more about his book at soldiersheart.net. Soldiersheart.net. Ed Tick, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much.
You too, Joe. Thank you, and blessed Veterans Day to you and everyone.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.